get into the material. Does anyone need the outline to have it? Yes? No?
If you don't have it, how about you raise your hand? You'll share with me.
And then, yeah, just try and share with those around you. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Can we read the title together?
Amen.
Serving God by prayer according to His power and will.
Amen.
Let's read that again.
Serving God by prayer according to His power and will.
Amen.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen. Serving God by prayer according to His heart and will.
Hallelujah. So, you know, yesterday I was talking with John. I was like, you know, I don't really know what the burden of this message is. Like, it's kind of like, the burden of giving it is kind of all over the place. And there's a lot of stuff here, but I actually appreciate it. This title, and then the first Roman numeral. Mm-hmm. Serving God by prayer. By prayer, according to His heart and will. And so in this message, we really see how God operates. And we see He limits Himself to the principle of incarnation. And then there's a certain principle in even how we cooperate with God.
Yeah.
So maybe we can all read Roman numeral 1 together.
In the universe, there are three wills, the divine will, the satanic will, and the human will. God wants man's will to be joined to Him and to be one with Him so that man may express and echo His will back to Him in prayer for His good pleasure.
Maybe we could read the verses on day one. And just whoever has them, just go.
Isaiah 14:14. I will make myself like the most high.
Amen. So here you see these two wills. The angels were created with a will, and actually Satan was the first one.
Yeah.
He not only didn't listen to God's will, but his will is actually in opposition to God's will. And so in the universe, there is God's will, the divine will, and then there is the satanic will.
Right.
And actually, man is in a warfare. You can't say that man's will is actually just for man, you know. Man's will is not separate from these two wills. Actually, in the entire Bible, you see that man's will is either according to God's will or it's according to the satanic will. It's either according to the spirit or according to the flesh. There is no in-between. Actually, this warfare is, there's in the message in the summer training, the brother's talking about, you know, there's a battle for souls. Actually, he's saying, actually, there's a real battle for worship. Whether we would worship God or worship Satan, essentially. And so in the same principle, actually, there's God's will and there's the satanic will. And so I'd like to just go through some of the points of Roman numeral 1, because actually the points really, they're awesome. Okay, but can we read B?
A genuine man of prayer is one whose desires are fully related into God's desires, and his thoughts are fully one with God's thoughts. He is a man in whom God's desires are imprinted, a man of revelation whose heart is a duplication of God's heart.
So in these verses in 1 Samuel here, actually we see that the Lord established a faithful priest according to his heart and his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's talking about Samuel. And Samuel was a man of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that a genuine man of prayer is, it's not simply one who prays all the time. One who is steadfast in prayer, which is completely needed. You know, that's completely and definitively needed. Mm-hmm. If we're not people of prayer, then we would fall short. But actually, more so, it's a person whose thoughts are one with God's thoughts, whose desires are one with God's desire. And then maybe we could read C, D, and E.
Prayers that originate our bodies to satisfy our own lusts may be answered by God, but they have no spiritual value, and we will become weak before His eyes and unbelieving to Him.
Maybe brothers on D.
Only the prayers that are initiated by God and echo what He has initiated have any spiritual value. We must learn to pray this kind of prayer.
My sisters on E.
When we come to the Lord in prayer, we need to allow the Spirit to mingle our desires with His desires, leading our love into His love, and to bring His desires and thoughts into us. Then the prayer that we utter to God with His inward desire will be precious, weighty, and valuable to Him, and will cause Him to suffer loss.
Amen. So there's a lot here where we see if we are actually, we can pray a lot, but if we pray according to our own desires, actually according to our lusts, you know, and the children of Israel, they wanted, when they were leaving in the Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they hungered for the meat, you know, for the salt, for the leeks. And so the Lord, He's like, okay, I'll send you quails. And I'll send you such an abundance of quails that you won't even be able, it'll come out of your nostrils. And then actually it says the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them. And He made their soul lean. You know, actually the end result of having such a type of prayer is that we're not filled to the fullness of God.
Right.
We're not fat, saturated with God. You know, actually we're lean in our soul. We're actually really lacking the reality. And so we see, well, how do we have prayers that, how do we have these type of prayers that God desires? And so I think in the outline, I hope, I'm not the outline, but in the daily material, some of the days are really good talking about how this, but actually we need to come to the Lord and just be before Him.
Amen.
And maybe we could read, well, Lord Jesus, okay. I just want to get through one and then talk about numeral two as well. But so in F, we see that the real meaning of prayer, all spiritual work, is that there's four steps.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, first, God intends to do something. He has His will, His good pleasure. He reveals His will to man through the Spirit. And then, actually, when we see this, we return His will. We return what He's shown us in prayer. And then that gives Him a way to accomplish what He's after. So first, all things originate from God. All of His desires are His desires. Actually, in our prayer, we need to learn how to have prayer that originates from God. And that's why I was talking about just being before God, allowing Him to just be empty and allow Him to speak to us, to impart Him with His desire. That's because, you know, it's a very... Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
It's, we really, there's all these pictures. We see this is really how God operates. Maybe let's read G together.
God needs man to exercise His Spirit with His resurrected will to pray according to God's divine will for Christ to be manifested and enjoyed by us, for the body life to be practiced by us, and for the body of Christ to be built up through us.
Amen.
And H. We have to pray according to God's desire and His will for the fulfillment of His economy.
Then we have the assurance that we have received what we have prayed for.
Amen. So I think I'll just cover that much. And I'd like to share just one more thing. I don't kind of want to leave time for everyone else to share, but... So, in the case of Hannah, and actually was talking about in 1 Samuel, you know, she was, there was someone that she was competing with, right? Penina? Penaniah? Okay, anyway. But this person, she had a desire to have children, but actually it says Jehovah had shut up her womb. And then also, Jehovah had caused this person she was competing with to have many children and to antagonize her and to, you know, so actually this situation was completely arranged by God.
Amen.
And so what did it result in? Actually, it resulted in her being desperate and weeping in prayer. But actually, we see that there was something, actually, there was even something beyond that picture, and it relates to where the children of Israel were. You know, in Judges, after Moses died, they eventually came in the Judges, and the way they governed the children of Israel was they had a judge come in, and then the children of Israel were okay, and then the judge died, or something happened, and then they fell, okay? And then they had to get recovered by another judge, you know? This is the epitome of our roller coaster church life sometimes, you know? We're either for God's will or we're against it.
Yeah.
And so, actually, God's desire was not for the judges. God had a plan to bring in David. He wanted to bring in the king. He wanted to bring in his kingdom. And so, actually, how did he do that? With Samuel. And so, actually, you think, well, it was just her desire. Actually, God had a desire. God wanted to bring in the king. And so today, I hope someone else can share on this, but today there's a real contrast. We can be people who are we're trying to bring in, we're the Penaniahs, you know, we're trying to bring in people, we're trying to, you know, we have so many children, you know, oh, let's revive the work, let's, you know, revive and do all these things outwardly. But actually what God's desire, his thought, is that the kingdom would be brought in. You know, the kingdom of this earth will become the kingdom of our God, become the kingdom of our Lord. And so we need to be those who, actually, and this requires us to be before the Lord and allow his thought to become our thought. So this week is really great. I'll just stop here. Hallelujah. Okay. All the saints, let's share.
Amen.
We have a small group today, so you all have an opportunity to share today.
Yeah, there's so many examples here.
It's really so wonderful.
So I'll just share a couple of things I really enjoyed. I thought this week was really, really good. And there's just so much here. It's kind of hard to pick just a few things to share. But I'll just share, I really enjoyed the examples of Daniel and Abraham. In Daniel, in the reading, it says he believed absolutely in prayer. He believed in prayer because he believed in God and not in himself. The highest expression of a man who cooperates with God is in prayer. I really enjoyed that he believed absolutely in prayer. And that's what caused him in his, actually kind of similar to Hannah, he was put in a situation that made him very desperate. And his environment caused him to seek the Lord. And anyways, I just enjoyed that he depended on prayer to do what man could not do, but he knew that God could do it. So if it was according to his will, he knew that if it was according to his will and he prayed, then it would be done.
Yeah.
And then the thing I was really impressed about regarding Abraham was to see how intimate Abraham was with God. I thought it was really refreshing. In day 5, it points out this conversation that Jehovah and Abraham have regarding Sodom. And it's really interesting when I was going through it again, you realize, like, I kind of shared a little bit during PSRP time that, like, it's kind of like when two friends are having a conversation and they're talking about something, but what they're really talking about is, like, this other thing, but neither of them are mentioning the other thing, but they know each other so well that they can actually tell each other what they want to say without actually talking about what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually kind of the conversation between God and Abraham. Actually, they were talking about Lot, but they never talked about Lot. They never mentioned Lot by name,
mm-hmm.
but both of them knew what the other was actually thinking. And so one thing I shared in PSRP that I was impressed with is that actually the reason God gave Abraham the revelation of what he was going to do to Sodom is because God wanted to save Lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed a man on the earth to intercede on Lot's behalf in order for him to save Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really interesting that, like, a lot of times God reveals things to us for a particular purpose because he needs to us to pray regarding that thing in order for him to move. And then Abraham had spent enough time in God's presence that when he received the revelation regarding Sodom, he knew to intercede on Lot's behalf. And so that allowed Lot to be saved out of his situation. And so anyways, I was just really touched by that. It says here, although God did not mention Lot's name, he knew within his heart that Abraham understood what he was doing. God and Abraham spoke to one another in a mysterious way, neither of them mentioning Lot's name. So anyways, I just thought that that was, you just had a sense of like something so sweet between Abraham and God. And it has a lot to do with, in that, in this same section, it talks about lingering in the presence of God. And that Abraham knew God to such an extent and was able to pray prayers that moved God's hand, even according to what specific things God wanted to do and reveal to him, because he spent time in God's presence.
From the conference, the topic of it was the testimony of Jesus, and it looks like this. And one of the messages that touched me the most was message 9, and it was called The Characteristics of the Men Who Turned the Age. And it was a lot about Daniel and his companions when they were taken into captivity, and it was kind of related back to how Babylon is a lot like today because the world is full of idols that a lot of people are, in a sense, worshiping. So there's four characteristics, and the first one is that men who turn the age are separated persons. And they're ones that are separated from the world and are standing against the tide of the age to be, it says to be an anti-testimony for God by inwardly standing up against the tide and being different from the stage. And then the second characteristic are those who not only read God's word regularly, but who are joined to God's word. So I was really touched by this because I feel like a lot of times I'm like, okay, gotta read my Bible. I read in like a few minutes and then I'm like, all right, that's good. I got it. Like I can check that off my list for today. But we really need to be those who are touched by the word of God. The third characteristic is men who pray prayers that cooperate with God to turn the age. So, yeah, this one was also a major point because he's talking about how a lot of times we just pray for ourselves. We're like, oh, Lord, I have a test tomorrow, I have this appointment, or I need you to cover that. But he asks this question, how many actually pray for God's need? So it's kind of like a really eye-opening question. One example that I really liked was this speaking brother came up to a brother on the front row, and he was like, okay, I want you to tell me, like, your heart's desire and everything about yourself, but I only have 5 minutes, so, like, hurry up, and then I gotta go to an appointment after this. So it's like really kind of like exposing, like a lot of times we're just like, okay, I just have like 5 minutes and I'm gonna go. But wow, I was really touched at that point. We need to pray for God's need, and we really need to spend more time, take time to behold him. The fourth characteristic are persons who are under God's hand and can be used by him to turn the age. They're self-sacrificing persons who do not care for their own life. I really enjoy this first point that says, everyone God uses to turn the age is neither afraid of heaven nor of hell and fears nothing except to offend God and lose his presence. And yeah, I just really appreciated this whole conference and about how the Lord is really gaining young people today for His desire.
Yeah. What was this conference for?
Poland conference.
Oh,
yeah.
Poland.
I also enjoyed the 4 steps, especially the number 3 steps. We return and echo His will back to Him through the prayer. If you look at this 4 steps, it's like, why bother? Why it has to be so complicated? If God revealed, let's just get it done and done with it, right? Why we have to go to number 3 and go back? It's like not necessary, it's not. But if you think about it more deeply, you realize this is the crucial step in the 4 step. Because, you know, this world, everything is fast. Fast food, you know, the internet, you know the news next. In another country, in 1 minute, instant response, instant. Everything is instant. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't like, God is not taking that route. Mm-hmm. God is like taking more complicated route. He's so patient that He willing to take it slowly,
yeah.
So that we will. So the number 3 step is, I find out that even in the Old Testament, you will find out a lot of people done a lot of things for God, but their whole being is not touched by God. It's like they outwardly they do a lot, but inwardly, God is not there. God is not constitute, or God is not. It is just they are just a tool for God, but they are not become, they are not one with God. So through the number 3, I realize it that the 3 is the way God constitutes in us. That when we echo back, that His essence built into us. Without 3, you find out our whole being will not be touched. Right? He revealed, He accomplished, but we still ourselves not been touched at all. And I feel like, you know, like Daniel, you know, those people, they are not just outwardly cooperate with God, but inwardly, they are very submissive. They are very obedient to God. It's not just outwardly, but inwardly, because they are there waiting for God. They are there do things according to what God wants. And I think that's what God considers as precious. Already doing something for God is not that valuable for God.
Yeah.
But inwardly, your constitution, you become obedient to God, you listen to every word He says, and then act according upon it. I think that is what God considers as precious.
Amen.
So echoing back, you know, what God wants is like you obedient to God. You submissive to God. Absolutely, you know, you have no your own idea. You have no your own opinion. Yourself is not there. It's you only say what God wants to say. And so I really think that number 3 is a very, very crucial step. You know, it's like you would think echoing is really not that great, you know. It's like we are kind of dummy, you know. But actually it's, for me, I look at it as a very, very important that our whole being, you know, being one with God.
Amen.
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 So, previous today I went to the Summer School of Truth, and then the last meeting they were talking about the mighty being, the Holy Spirit, and then I was really touched. The brother was saying, you know how the divine economy, the picture, then the brother was saying, if it was to stop at the incarnation, then everything would be just pointless. So the brother said, after the incarnation, I mean crucifixion. So, and then he said, he's like, he's saying,
God's incarnation as a man so that he will become the life-giving spirit that he will draw in each one of us.
Amen.
And then he said, he stepped out of, it's like, I didn't really see how much our God loved us, that he was using the word, he stepped out of eternity, so that, and he actually stepped into a womb, that the unlimited God is being confined. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like really touched. And then later on, the brother shared a testimony given by another brother. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the brother. But it was like, the brother was the Navy chef. So, and then, that was, so the testimony was like, the Lord wake up that brother at 3:30 a.m. in the morning to make a banana split ice cream sundae. Right, and then it was like, and then I think that kind of like, they were saying, you know, it's like, it's at 3:30 in the morning, so it's like no one wants to wake up, you know, but then at the end, the brother actually honored that wish. So the brother woke up, and he woke up and made the banana split, and then the brother was saying, you know how it was like, he was making a for the Navy, so it's like he needs to go down 3 levels on the deck, you know, go down 3 levels to get 5 gallons of the 3 containers of ice cream. Then when he get it out, and then after he prepared all that, and then was like he doesn't really want to eat it. He doesn't want it to eat it at all. So he just go out and find somebody to eat it. And then he found a boatman, and then he ate it. And then 2 weeks later, that brother actually, I don't know how, somehow they were talking about it, and then the brother who ate that ice cream, he was actually praying to the Lord. It's like, he was praying, the thing that cherished me the most would be a banana split ice cream sundae. So the brother was saying, you know, it's like you were having the war, but then what the thing that cherished the most is that banana split. And then the brother was saying, he was saying, if that brother didn't honor that wish, he didn't wake up in the morning to make the banana split, then the man, that brother who is being persecuted at that time, he would not be cherished by the Lord. And then because that brother honored that wish, so that another brother get cherished, and then his faith towards the Lord will be strengthened. Mm-hmm. And then the brother was saying, like, you need to honor the wish, and only when you're in such a close fellowship with the Lord, then you will honor the wish, and you'll be the one that shepherd to those who are being persecuted right now. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sister came out, a young sister came out to give up kind of sharing. So she said during the spring conference, she was like, they were talking about conscience. So her conscience kind of dealing with her, and she couldn't sleep at that midnight. And then the Lord told her to go downstairs, but then she refused to go downstairs. And then the next morning, the serving one told her, I couldn't sleep at that midnight. And then I was at the downstairs waking. It's like, you know, that serving one doesn't sleep that midnight as well. So the younger sister then realized the Lord was actually telling her to go down and pray with that sister. Mm-hmm. But then because she refused to honor that wish. So it's like, you know, yeah. And then the girl in my serving one, she shared another, was like, she has 3 boys, and then was like, there was one night she was really tired. And then, you know, after putting down all the boys to sleep, then she was so tired, and then she was telling the Lord, you know, she just wants someone to rub her back. And then she was waiting for like a few minutes, then nothing happened. She thought her husband will come out. And then at the end, she was like, give up, you know, she told the Lord, it's okay. I really don't want to rub my back. And then was like, I think a few minutes later, somebody came out and rubbed her back. And it was actually her son, a 4-year-old son. But the first he just ran back for a few minutes, and then he went back to sleep. But then I think that time was like, the Lord always cherished people. It's like the brother was saying, the Lord operate among all of us so that we will be the one that cherish another person. We will be the one that cherish the person who is going to be persecuted.
Yeah. Don't get any ideas. I'll still sleep.
I don't know if you noticed that actually this week I read the title. Serving God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember, you know, reading about serving God for a few weeks already. And then I look at every week's title. It's all about service. I don't know if you remember. Service for the building up of the church. So, because, you know, whenever the outline, I was like, oh, okay, so the first one, you know, first point is about the three wheels, right? And then it just have different people's prayer. So I was thinking that then actually the title should be about the prayer, right? But then the prayer, and then I said, why does it have serving God here? But I think that, you know, we actually, all of us, we know how to pray. Well, actually, I don't know if we really know. But we thought we know how to pray.
Yeah.
We actually don't need this message again to teach us again and again, you know, how you should pray. But I think that the point here is reminds us again to serve the God,
yeah.
You know, for His purpose. I was very touched by Carolyn's sharing, you know, because this week when I was reading, I don't know if you noticed that there was a verse there, Genesis 18:17 on day 5. It says that Jehovah said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" I think, especially for us older saints, we probably have this feeling that, you know, actually sometimes when you have some secrets, right, you would not, like a child, say that I'm going to announce this to everybody. Actually, we will select the people, you know, who really know us and we really know, and, you know, share with them this secret. So, you know, actually this week my prayer to the Lord is that, Lord, do you want to hide me what you are about? I really hope that I can be the person like Abraham. You know, God would not hide to me what He wants to do. And I think that to build up this relationship is really, like, you know, it needs a lot of time that we can spend with the Lord. So, you know, like, Kyle and I, probably some of you know, we were actually classmates when we were in college. So, you know, like, I still remember sometimes we are thinking about what we want to eat for a meal. You know, we would not directly say, oh, let's go here or go there. We would have some discussion, okay? And that discussion, you would know that, you know, maybe I think about something, but back then, Brother Kyle did not like sweet stuff at all. So you would think that, oh, do we really want to eat sweet stuff today? Because he probably does not like it, or this or that. And you probably would say that it's simple. Mm-hmm. You just go to a restaurant and you eat it, or you just make something. But then actually I think it's in the process that we know each other more, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then that's how we are shepherded. And here, I think it's in online, there are like 5 principles about what he talks about Abraham's prayers. First, it says that it's God's revelation about his desire. So it's not our intention, it's not our desire. And the second one, it says that he prayed for God's people. And I think this is so important. You know, sometimes we just pray for, you know, like our own interests, you know, those who we like, and for some people we think, oh, forget about this person, you know, I don't care about him. But here it really says that intercede for God's people. And number 3 is intimate conversation. I think Carolyn mentioned about this. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, we just stay there for 5 minutes. We really need to speak to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And number 4 is according to God's righteous way. Sometimes we just think that, Lord, you can just do this, you can just do that. But then here it says that we need to pray according to God's righteous way. And number 5, I think, is very important. It says that this conversation
did not stop with our Abraham speaking. It actually terminated with God speaking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we were like, you know, I'm done. You know, I released my burden. But God has not, you know, released his burden yet. So we really need to, you know, spend more time with the Lord.
Amen.
One thing I enjoyed a lot this week is as our sister Mia, she fellowshiped this four step. And the first step is God, for short, actually, four step is God intends, right? God intends to do something, right? According to his will. And second is he reveals. So he intends and he revealed to us. And the third one is we return to our prayer to echo his will. And four is God accomplished. Oh, so wonderful. He actually he take care of three things we just do one. We just return in our prayer. But I really appreciate, you know, the ministry from time to time, you know, we'll go back to this topic regarding prayer. You know, but every time we come to this, I hope we won't feel, you know, oh, I heard this before.
Yeah.
Right? It's actually why, you know, in our message, conference, meeting, very often, everything is, you know, repeats again and again. That's the reason is we, you know, each time those speaking, even we appreciate, we are not really able to follow it, you know, to the extent, you know, God desires, right? We, little by little, this time, for me, I think I heard this before, but this time when I read again, I think, oh, remind me again, you know, this should be happen, not only in my mind, it should be in my daily living.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I think, on one hand, this 4 points really helped me a lot. And also, helped me a lot is those examples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, four examples from the Old Testament, and one is from our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And these examples you see is just exactly the same as what we see in the Roman numeral 1 that Brother Scott, you know, help us to read, right? Mm-hmm. So we can really, how kind of man of prayer should be, actually we join to him, right? And we echo his desire, his will. And like Hannah, I you know, each one I think is so interesting, enlightening. Hannah, to me, I think is a very typical mother, you know, typical wife or woman. She just, you know, she need a son. And very interesting, you know, this, you know, the ministry of Brother Me actually very emphasizes that he actually have a message called Hannah's ministry, right? And Hannah's ministry, just as our sister shared, you know, bringing a kingdom, mm-hmm. age of kingdom. They said age turner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a very typical woman, and in her situation, in her difficulty, actually can echo, can pray out the heart desire of God. I think that's very, very, very encouraging. That means if we, in some our situation, we don't take it lightly, we really come to the Lord to pray, actually we know, we are all believers. We know what is God's heart desire. It all depends on whether we want to echo his heart desire or not.
Yeah.
You know, we are looking for a job, we can pray, oh Lord, give me a job.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can pray for, oh, give me a job so this job will be according to your heart desire.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally different.
Yeah.
And the same that Elijah, right? He's earnestly prayer. Actually, this earnestly is praying prayer.
He said,
pray according to God's prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that he had come up with his idea, so stopped to rent for 3 years and 6 months.
Yeah.
This must be the Lord revealed to him.
Yeah.
And he had the heart to, you know, be to cooperate with the Lord. So God revealed this to him, and he prayed in prayer.
Amen.
He prayed in God's prayer.
Yeah.
And Daniel, we know, Abraham, I think Abraham, I also very touched by this, especially his intercession. God, as our sister mentioned earlier, that actually it's God want to save Lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Abraham want to save Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And God want to save Lot because this, you know, a saint, you know, in the church is Abraham's brother. In the church, that do we have this feeling? We have some kind of love towards the brothers, sisters, and so make us, you know, make God know if he reveal his heart desire to us, we will pray back to him.
Right.
You know, young people, you know, when we're there, it's good, and all our young people is doing very well, I think. But we will also see a lot of critical situation need to be taken care of. Last night, actually, Sister Ping received a text. It's 1:30 or something a.m., but we already fell asleep, so cannot respond. Didn't know that. But there's a sister text Ping saying there's a young people sister have a stomach ache.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, they take good care of him right now. But whether we really can you know, have some sense in our heart, so the Lord can reveal his heart desire to us, so we will pray according to God's heart desire toward this sense. I think that's something we all can go, you know, further in our prayer.
Yes.
Go
yes.
Further, more advanced. You know, each time when we read this kind of message, our prayer can get deeper, get higher, and get closer to the heart desire of our God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Enjoy it. Share with God. It's true when he says that we're pulled from one side to the other, right? We're in between, and either we are with Satan or we are with the Spirit of the Lord. You know? And this about the will, you know, serving God, I pray according to his heart and will. And really in his will, what his will is. See, well, I was in New York for many years. Right? I was in the church in New York. And I basically, you know, my kids grew up there. And thanks to Brother Gary, the Lord sent, we joined the church in New York. We used to be in Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Catholic, Baptist, we were everywhere with my family looking for the Lord. And we got to the church in New York. And I thought I found everything. Oh my goodness, I got to the church in New York, okay, listen, until one elder sister told me, brother, it's not going to be different, you're going to see a lot of things too. I said, wow, I thought I found heaven now, I went everywhere. Okay, so, and we grew over there, we were a few years, and actually the church has actually struggled, had a lot of warfare with the enemy, you know, it's New York, oh my goodness. My brother was telling me, why did you move to New York? And actually, I wish was New York different, but it really is like the headquarters of the city, you know? I lived there, been there, and I experienced a lot of things there. So it's not, the Lord's will was to me get out of New York. And a lot of brothers were actually from New York get out of New York, but from the church. And that's the reason, Franklin, got away in most churches here in New York group. You know, grew and was downfall. Because many brothers, saints left the church in New York to come to New Jersey.
See, but why did they move? Because they want a better place for the kids, better schools, right? And the Lord wanted them also to open churches in New Jersey. See, now there's only, what, 19 localities, right? So it wasn't my will to live in New York. At the beginning, the brothers, some of the brothers were not thinking, you know, saying, oh, you shouldn't do that. But then a brother called me and said, you made a good move. I didn't even make the move. The Lord made the move. The Lord is the one that brought me to Pennsylvania for a reason. And see, when you live in New York, you struggle, you grow up, and like I did, and you can really see what life is about. And the thing is, I want to see the will, about His will. If you, I was reading here, it says the three basic prayers concerning God are related to the divine Trinity. Your name will sanctify. See, in the Lord's Prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, says, your kingdom come. In the Lord's Prayer, says, your kingdom come. Which is related to the, no, your name is something that relates to the Father, your kingdom can relate to the Son, and your will be done related to the Spirit. And there are many translations that actually are wrong when it says that your will be done on earth as it will be done in heaven. Right? And actually, we check Matthew 16:19. It says, 16:19. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heavens, and whatever you lose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. Mm-hmm. But this is the Lord's will. See, many times our will is, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to be a... my son, I always tell that to my kids, because I want to be a soccer player. That's his dream, right? And I share that, you know. First, His will is in heaven. Then, if it's bound here, you're not going to be a sucker. We are in the boat. You can't leave the boat. You are in the boat with us. So, sometimes you want to do something. Your will is this, your will is that. Right? We really ask the Lord, is this your will? Because first, it's going to be bound in heaven. So, it's bound up here. No matter how much you pray, unless we consecrate. That's what I keep telling my kids, unless we really consecrate, if He loses on the heaven, He will lose on the earth. My prayer, that's the only way He will lose. And if the Lord, He wants to be something, He wants to be somebody, doctor or engineer, soccer player, it doesn't matter. I always tell them, it's your, He could lose. If He's bound on the earth, He could lose in the heaven. And it will be loose in the earth. And the Lord will grant you, will have mercy, and you will be where you want to be. But it will be only for His economy. So one day you will preach the gospel, your servant and the Spirit. So this really will is really so crucial. It's so crucial that I wanted to do a lot of things. I did, like I told you once, I'm this and that, I got a license for this, for that, that. I'm none of that. I'm teaching people how to drive. That's it. But what? I want to live New York. I want to get out of New York. I'm tired of New York. My kids don't want to be there. My daughter said, I hate New York. My kids said that. And I can move to New York. I can move back to New York. You know, the Lord brought me here. But what? His will is to speak the word. I get so many people. And I say, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. He put me to people. Muslim, the Hindus, suffering, struggling, divorce, this, and that. Oh, Lord. But finally they opened their mind. They're almost crying. These two guys this week, they wanted to cry. What am I going to do? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me out. I speak the word to them. One of them told me, you know, bro, I don't have a Bible. I only have the Quran. Don't worry about it. Get your phone out. I'll give you a gift. I give him the Bible. He was so happy. And the other one was reading with me in the office. He was so happy, he was almost crying. He said, I want to read it all the time. I want to read it all the time. That's why I need the church. I need the church. I keep asking, I need the church. Take your prayer out. I need the church because it's not my will. I'm not perfect. I sin. I asked the Lord to ask me for sin. I just got up and said, Lord, as soon as I get up, I said, thank you for giving me another day. That's what I should pray. You know? But if we are so proud, we can't even pray for each other. So that's His will. Whatever His will is going to be, no matter what we do, His will is going to be. Right? I ask the Lord, Lord, make me humble as you are humble. So I can speak through you. You can speak through me. You know? He said, I'm calling from the spirit, calling from flesh. You know? Sometimes I get upset, I want to explode. I said, oh, I want to sin, I want to do something. I said, Lord, help me out. The whole day I had to call. But this is His will, is what, you know, this is His will. No matter what we do, His will is going to become first. So I say, so don't try to do what you want to be, or try to be what you want to be. Like He said, sometimes He allows that, you know, and then we're going to go through a lot of things, suffering. He allows a lot of things for us to learn, you know, for us to learn. But I really touched this with all your sharing, really touched, because really, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Anybody else want to share? Amen. So this week I had the same feeling that Sister Ping had. You know, this whole Mourner Revival booklet is all about serving and serving, serving, serving. But I really appreciated this title this week is by serving God by prayer. A lot of times, and that's half of it, is that we have to serve God by a lot of practical things. Like next week we're going to clean the meeting hall. That's going to be serving the Lord, because practically we need to have this meeting hall in the right condition. So when we have some guests here for a gospel meeting, we have the right environment, right? So there's a lot of outward practical things. But here, there's not one practical thing on this in this message. It's all about prayer. And I think that's really what the burden of this message is. I was after I was talking to Scott, still pondering all night and pondering this morning, you know, and I was like, it's actually pretty easy. It's just to pray to the Lord. You know, that's really the burden of this message, is that we need to progress. And there's actually a lot of words in this message. It says to learn, right? We need to learn to pray this kind of prayer. It's not something that we just become a Christian overnight. We just learn to pray this, right? Kind of regarding, you know, you want to become a soccer player. Actually, I kind of disagree. You can become a soccer player if you want. But if it's not according to the Lord's will, you might have the situation like the quails. You know, become a soccer player, but if it's not the Lord's will, I don't know what will happen. But I'm not saying it's not the Lord's will. I'm saying we can become a lot of things, but it cannot be God's perfect will for you. The Lord will allow you to do things that aren't according to His will, but if you do things that are not according to His will, the Lord can also deal with you in different situations. And I think a lot of us have gone through that. I know I've done things that I wanted to do when I was in college, and I said, I'm going to do it. And the Lord didn't not allow me to do it. I did it. But the Lord dealt with me. I got a certain dealing with the Lord because it wasn't according to God's will.
I said, like Scott, He allows to be sometimes to get something.
Uh-huh.
To
learn. Yeah. So, this is something we need to allow. There needs to be human cooperation with the Lord. We need to allow the Lord to saturate our will. So this is something that we need to have. We need to have a cooperation with the Lord. And if we allow the Lord to have a cooperation with the Lord, our prayers will be precious, they'll be weighty, and they'll be valuable. This is the type of prayers that we would hope, right? We would hope that our prayers would be precious. We would hope they would be weighty. They'd be valuable to the Lord. It'd be kind of sad that you wake up every morning and it's actually kind of meaningless. I know some of us don't like to wake up in the morning. Wouldn't that be sad? Every time you wake up in the morning, it's kind of just like praying some things in the air. Nothing's really being produced by these prayers. But it's really good. In the message, you mentioned that actually. So I was thinking, how are we going to, I don't know what the Lord's will is all the time. What's the Lord's will? But actually, we'll do it right here.
Lord's will? We got a cheat sheet right here.
This thing has the Lord's will in it. If you read this,
amen,
and you pray according to this, you'll have the Lord's will in it.
Amen.
Right? This is the Lord's will. So if you feel like you're lost and you feel like you don't know what the Lord's will is, come back to the Word.
Amen.
This book can bring us back into the Lord's heart and in the Lord's will. So if we, that's Roman numeral, right? It says we have to pray according to God's desire and His will for the fulfillment of His economy. Amen. Then we have the assurance that we have received what we have prayed for. So we want the assurance, then just come back to the Bible. A lot of times we just come and we pray our prayers and then we realize, oh Lord, that's not of you. We just come back and just pray, read the Word, and just get into the Word. Also, this in this message, we see there's actually a progression. So in the first Roman numeral, right, we kind of see how the Lord wants us to pray, how we need to learn. We have, Sister Mia taught us, right, or shared with us about these four steps. Then in the next Roman numerals, we see a progression of the ones that are praying, right? We see Hannah, then we see Elijah, then we see Daniel, then we see Abraham, and then we see the Lord. And there's actually a progression going on of how these ones are praying with the Lord. Right, Hannah, first she kind of, like Scott mentioned, there's like kind of this competition thing going, and she wanted a son. But she actually entered into the Lord's heart, right, eventually, when she prayed this. But her the initiation of it, it wasn't at first. It was something different, right? So that's kind of like the first progression. Then we see Elijah, then we see Daniel. Daniel was one that joined to the Lord's desire, right? He was one that he prayed on what was on God's heart. But then Abraham, we see intimate fellowship. So Daniel, we just see there was a joining, there was a prayer. But there wasn't like that one-on-one intimate relationship. With Abraham, we see there was a discussion going on. There was much discussion to figure out the feeling what the Lord has. Actually, I was thinking when I was sitting here, Caleb's helping me produce a little commercial. And with his other colleague, when we first started, the feeling of the thing was like, it was a little shaky because we didn't have that much discussion. But the more and more you discuss with someone, the more and more you know the feeling of what you want. And so the same with the little commercial thing. The more and more I talk to them, we're probably in like 100 phone calls now. Now we got it because there's a lot of going back and forth. Like, all right, this is what I want, you know. And then eventually, actually at the end, he started making suggestions of things that I didn't even say outright. And it was kind of like what you two mentioned, that once you start knowing someone's feeling, then you can actually start just doing things without the thing literally being said. And so this is what Abraham was one that was so intimate with the Lord, but the way he did it was like this sister said, right, is that he spent time with him, not this 5-minute, you know, all right, oh Lord, I got to get to work, or I got to catch the train. If that is your situation, that means maybe we need to wake up maybe 10 minutes earlier. Or maybe you need to figure out in your lunchtime, you can, you know, just go in your car. Or at night, maybe go for a walk. Whatever your situation is, we just need to spend time with the Lord. Time is the most precious thing. And like Sister Mia said, you know, today's society is about instant gratification. Microwave that, get your food this, you know, chat that, this, that. It's so fast, but we have to linger. And that's what we need to do with the Lord's Prayer. So serving the Lord is really just praying to the Lord. This is really what the Lord wants, and this is actually how the Lord accomplishes things. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things that we can do practically to serve the Lord, but actually the chairs will get set up somehow, some way. But what the Lord really wants is actually us to pray. Pray what's on the Lord's heart. Pray about the gospel meeting. Pray for your friends. Intercede for the others. You know, last corporate meeting, we got into building relationships, right? You know, a really good way to build a relationship is to intercede for the saints. If you intercede for the saints, I guarantee you the Lord will imprint these people on your heart. If you're praying for, you know, Brother Sergio is, you know, has to make that long trek to New York City, and you keep praying for Brother Sergio, then guess what? I guarantee you, the Lord will imprint him on your heart. If you're praying for, you know, the some college students and their, you know, whatever life situations they're going to, I guarantee they'll be imprinted on your heart. You won't have to write it down on a sticky note. Oh, remember to pray for this person. I do that all the time. Remember, because my mind is like everywhere. I have to put sticky notes to remind myself to pray for people. But if you pray enough, these people will be imprinted into you, and will intercede for them. And then in the end of the message, we see that the best way, and one of the best prayers, I just really got a reappreciation for the prayer, and is that, you know, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it's jam-packed with everything that we need is in there. You know, our daily bread to be supplied, you know, to be forgiven our debts, you know, taking the blood, praying for the kingdom, everything. It's all in there, and I really appreciated to just kind of come back to that prayer and kind of dissect it little by little, right? We see that the triune God's in there. And the reason I really appreciated this verse was because a lot of times in Christianity, we hold hands and just really quickly say the prayer, but with not much consideration. And I think because of that, I feel a lot of times in the Lord's recovery, we don't maybe emphasize this verse a lot because we don't want to water it down. So in this message, I felt like, wow, we really spent, there's like, I mean, that Roman numeral is very, it's very long, right? There's A, B, and then there, under B, there's subpoints of subpoints, because this verse is getting really getting dissected, because there's so much in that verse. It's really jam-packed. So my suggestion for this week is maybe just dwell on these verses here in Matthew 6:9-13. It was really good, and I want to continue this next week, because this was the end of this week. Amen. So I didn't get to it till the end. So I want to continue to linger on it next week's morning Bible. So may we just be people that, you know, really learn what's on God's heart. And the best way to do this is just by spending time with Him, spending time with Him in prayer. And the way to do this is just get into the Word. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That was our prayer this week.
Amen.
Those who are praying, according to what's on your heart.
Amen.
More mingling of your heart with our heart.
Amen.
Lord, teach us how to pray.
Amen.
Practicing every day.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Those who serve primarily by praying.
Amen.
And praying people more this week.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Let our prayer be according to your will.
Right.
Oh, Lord Jesus, make us humble because you're humble.
Amen.
The more of your life, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, in every part of our being, Lord.
Right.
Lord, we want to see you more every day.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we pray for all those unbelievers.
Amen.
In suffering,
Lord. Amen.
Those one with the struggling right now, Lord.
That's right.
Lord, open their hearts, their eyes, so they can look for you and see you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
And teach us to pray.
Amen.
Really, love you.
Amen.
And you.
Amen.
And your word.
Amen.
And your will.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray to practice this daily.
Amen.
Bring us out.
Amen.
Our prayer in progress.
Amen.
Oh, to reach all your heart desires.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh,
Jesus. Spend more time.
Amen.
Your presence.
Amen.
Relationship with you.
Amen.
Your desire, your thoughts could be imprinted in our hearts.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, our failure to be one with you.
Amen.
Lord, we would like to spend more time with you this week.
Amen.
To be those who are praying what's on your heart.
Amen.
Lord, really make your heart's desire our heart's desire.
That's right.
We would like to be those who are so joined with you.
Amen.
Right, Lord, we want to be joined with you.
Amen.
Your heart's desire would be our heart's desire.
Amen.
Lord, we give you this upcoming week.
Amen.
We want to spend more time with you this week.
Amen.
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 I'm not sure. Forget it.